Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are halfway on Gesundheit with Jacobus. We appreciate you all tuning in. We have Dr. Dan Young and Becca Mayo Harrison coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, from the Country Doctor Nutrition Center. I keep saying it's
Nutritional Center.
Yeah, Nutritional Center.
Yeah.
The Country Doctor.
You can rename
Nutritional
it,
Jacobus. Center.
It's okay.
No, it's okay.
Your show.
Yeah, it is. Gesundheit Nutrition Center, Country Doctor Nutrition Center. Anyway, and we have Dr. Phil Cameron and Melissa Humner here from the Bozeman Wellness Center. And we have Craig with us still on the phone. Craig, good morning to you. Thanks for staying on during the break.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed some of the little commercials that you had there.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, they make those.
He played that song just for you.
No, not the song. He's talking about the commercials during the break.
Oh, he didn't hear the song?
Yeah. So anyway, we were talking about, you said, what can I do? What is the best way for me to cut out carbs and sugars? And we were talking about...
Well, to start the process, because I know it's not going to happen right away. I wish it could, but I know that, you know, the way that I eat, I mean, I live with an Italian that loves his pasta and all of that, and so... It's just a little bit difficult to cut it all out. And I was wondering if there's a way that I could start to reduce it on a gradient basis rather than just trying to slam everything stop.
Yeah. I don't know. You want to continue talking about this, Becca? I know you can help him. I have some thoughts about it too.
Yeah, I think probably everyone in this room has several recommendations they would make.
Well, I find out that when I talk to people, also for myself, if I start consuming more of the food that I actually should be eating,
mm-hmm.
I am feeling stuffed enough that I don't crave the carbohydrates anymore. Mm-hmm. And I like to compare it with a fireplace. If you have a fireplace and you burn wood in the fireplace, you can take logs or you can take paper. Paper is made from a tree, so it's a wood product. So you can put paper in the fire in the fireplace, but it's not going to burn very long. It doesn't heat up the whole house. And you really cannot walk away from it because it is constantly asking for more paper. Now, if you put in some logs, then you're talking about your proteins and your fats. They burn much slower. You can actually, they build a beautiful fire. They heat up the whole house and you can actually walk away and get some work done around the house. So that is kind of an analogy that I like to use, Craig, because I find, and then if you burn oak or pine or maple or ebony wood, whatever you want to burn in the fireplace, it all burns a little bit different. And so we have different proteins and different good fats that all digest very slowly. They all have their own speed and they all do something different for us in our body. But I do find that if we actually nourish our body more with the proteins and fats and fresh vegetables, that automatically the craving for sugar will go out the window because you're stuffed and you will be stuffed for hours. But if you skip eating and you don't eat your proteins and you start out with a bowl of cereal in the morning or a piece of toast, then you already been sleeping all night and you maybe had a shower, so you feel refreshed. You're ready to take on the day. And then we have a tendency to be so much in the mind. We know what we're going to do that day. The agenda is full. So we just start walking. We just start going to work, doing the things we need to do, and we kind of forget to eat. So we grab a waffle or a piece of toast or a muffin or something on the way out. And then all of a sudden, 3 hours later, we realize, oops, we didn't put the fuel in the tank. And now you grab the quickest thing that you can get your hands on, which is usually a carbohydrate. Nobody has time to stop and get the grill out and defrost the meat and slap it on the grill and then wait 2 hours for it to get to the cells. So we just need something right now. And the quickest thing to get going is to eat anything that is a carbohydrate, which turns into a sugar, because as soon as that taste hits the tongue, it goes straight to the brain. And the brain says, okay, I'm satisfied again. Keep going. And meanwhile, our body cannot handle all those carbohydrates and stores them in the fat cells and is asking for insulin to process it. And we get diabetes and hypoglycemia. So that is it in a nutshell from a nut.
You like that? Was a great analogy too.
Oh,
with the fire.
I'd like to add one more thing there, if you have another second there, Craig. It's a choice, right? Everything we put in our mouth is a choice. And like Becca was saying, a lot of times it's the why you're putting that in your mouth that becomes the biggest question to answer. But when we realize that it's a choice and you can choose if you're going to eat the donut or you're going to eat the, you know, chicken, you know, it's, you know, whatever you decide is going to make the biggest difference.
Yes. Are you eating for purpose or pleasure?
Yep. Yeah.
And we are a society that is obsessed with eating for pleasure. Definitely. And so shifting that mindset so that when you go to eat, you're thinking, is this for purpose or pleasure? So if I'm going to eat for pleasure, it's going to be not every day. And it's going to be when I know I don't have anything coming up for the rest of the day because I know I'm going to be tired and not have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about, too, is one of the things that we learned from Becca a long time ago is that food logs are an amazing way not to be punished for what you are doing, but for revealing to you what's missing. Right, which is what Dr. Phil, when you said that, that reminded me of that as well.
It's powerful.
It empowers the person. We never use food logs to punish somebody. Oh, don't eat that Krispy Kreme donut. And, you know, quit eating it. You know, because that doesn't get anybody anywhere, right? Yeah, that's not empowering. But if you show, hey, you're only eating one piece of fruit a week and you're only eating three vegetables a week, why don't we try and up that to three a day and one a day? Let's just, I mean, let's gradiently identify what is your willingness to put forth the effort necessary to restore yourself back to health. And it's not overnight. It's not an overnight process.
Are smoothies a good way to start the day? As far as I'm concerned, smoothies, some people say they put a bunch of fruit in the smoothie with water, and then they call that a smoothie. That it's not, I would say a smoothie is a good thing, but you want to make sure maybe you can just do lettuce with water and then put some protein powder in it, two or three scoops of protein powder, and put in some coconut oil, and some fish oil, flax oil, almond butter. So get the fats in and get the proteins in. I like to make a shake that I take with me to work. So then you can make 32 ounces and you put in some liquid multivitamins and liquid calcium magnesium, and you can put in some cinnamon powder, which is good to balance your blood sugars. You can put in some different oils, as I just mentioned, and then you put in some lettuce. And because everything that you put in actually has its own flavor, you don't need extra fruit. But if you want to put some frozen berries in there with it for your own flavor, then that is fine. But the thing I like about smoothies is that you can put anything in with a liquid or a powder, and there is so much available these days. And then you take it with you to work or wherever you go, so that you drink 8 ounces several times a day. When you feel the craving, you just take something that contains all these proteins and fats instead of just, you know, and then you can still have breakfast. And maybe you have some eggs and sausage for breakfast, and then you go out and you're filled. And then when you get hungry again, maybe by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning, you take 8 ounces of that shake that you made. And then you have lunch, and then you take 8 ounces mid-afternoon if you get hungry. And in that way, every time you put something in your body, it has primarily proteins and fats, or fats and proteins, and then some carbohydrates. And I think you're going to find out that if you really still crave a piece of chocolate at night, it's you know, then this is the end of the day, if that's what you want to do. I'm not saying you have to, but you will literally find out that if you do that, what I'm just telling you, and you drink enough water, maybe 60 ounces, 64 ounces, if you can do that during the day, have some coffee or tea, whatever, I think you're not going to be hungry for sugars, for sure.
Great. Thank you. I don't want to take up any more time. I want to allow the other callers to get in.
So. Well, this was finally a chance for me to say something because I've been pushed aside over here.
Yeah, he's in the corner.
I was just going to add that we like to add in our smoothies. We have superfood at the clinic at Country Doctor Nutritional Center, which is like concentrated greens, right? Superfood greens that are just an excellent way to start the day. And it's, like 70% protein.
Yeah.
And then get a nice little veggie boost.
Yeah.
Energy boost to
start your day. Vegetable protein is better than
No, it's not true. No. If you, I think whey absorbs very well. Good whey protein from grass-fed cows is very popular. Some people don't like whey because they don't have a lactose intolerance, but the whey is extremely low in lactose. Most of it has been taken out, but you can do egg white. Now there is the collagen protein that is very well absorbed for a lot of people. It's something you can try. But if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you feel you want to do a vegetarian protein, that is fine. You just got to make sure you get a complete protein count and you get some extra B12 with it.
Do you do Keppra? Capra Mineral Wave? Jensen's stuff? Do you do Capra?
Oh, no, I used to. Goat? It never moved for us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, all right.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the information.
Good luck to you, Craig. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Melissa, I'm so sorry. We just keep cruising here through the show. Health coach, what is it? How is it to work with you? How does that go about? Tell me, people make an appointment with you at the Bozeman Wellness Center, and now they come in and you do, how do you approach their questions? Give us an example of questions that people bring to you.
First of all, I want to say I love questions because that is how people can learn the answers to what they're most interested in.
Yeah.
So questions are awesome.
Uh-huh.
So when I have a client that comes in, we use a complete health history. We use a symptoms questionnaire. We also use a timeline to get, and any recent lab work, if they have that, to get a really good picture of what they have had go on. And then in our time together, we discover what are they experiencing now? And then discover where do they want to go? Where do they need to go? And this all happens in the initial consultation. And we get a really good sense of what it's going to look like, what their path is going to look like to achieve their goal of whatever wellness goal that they are wanting. And at that point, I encourage them to ask as many questions as they have, simply because most of the people that come to me are quite ill. They've seen a lot of different practitioners. They're so confused. They don't know what to do first.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of just clarity and teaching in the very first session.
Yeah.
And then we decide together what it looks like for working together. Is it going to be a 3-month program to begin with? Often people start out with a 6-month program, especially if they come in with something like Crohn's or
MS,
colitis, MS. Mm-hmm. Somebody with MS would probably need at least 6 months to just begin. We'll probably need another 6-month program to finish or more, whatever. The one thing that I like to really make sure that they understand, though, is that we can't rush this process. We have to follow what the body needs. Mm. And sometimes that takes time, like a lot of time. And like the other folks have alluded to, it's a mindset, too. You know, you can work with the body, but the mind has to also be following. So, you know, it's a full body, full process that we go through. Like especially somebody with fibromyalgia, a lot of times that's a long road back to health, but they can do it. Mm. I just finished with a client 2 weeks ago that she's one of her closing comments to me in our final session together was, I feel like I can live life again. Mm. Whereas before she was in a really bad place. That mm-hmm. was not how she felt about life. She's excited about grandkids and starting her own business. And she's just growing and becoming this person that mm-hmm. she didn't know she could be. And she's in her 60s.
Mm.
And I'm so proud of her work. But that's what can be accomplished when you work with the body. Give it time to heal.
Fibromyalgia is a complicated issue in one way, right? Because there is different theories about what it is and where it comes from, and that some people have said it is an aluminum toxicity because of a magnesium deficiency, and you need some pectin to remove some of these heavy metals. But there is also a book that I read that says that, in his opinion, and he's been a medical doctor for 41 years, in his opinion, fibromyalgia is suppressed anger. And he says it is, you look at it, and I have let people read the passage of his book, and you literally see him nod their head and said, oh my God, yes. And they have had some traumatic experience, or things just didn't go the way they wanted, and they constantly keep hitting these doors, and they get more angry and angry and angry. And so that memory is in their muscles. And every time they even think about it or they get exposed to it, they tighten up just a little bit. And eventually that turns into a fibromyalgia. And so he is talking about that it really has to do with too much adrenaline in the body and too much cortisol, and that it needs to be, we need to help to balance that. It's very interesting. And it is a great process. Is any of that something that you felt has come out with your work with people, that there are these traumatic events that need to be worked through and be released?
Yes. But I would like to look at it in a different way, because when we work with a client, or when I work with a client, we follow what the body needs, whether it turns out to be toxicity that's at the base of it, whether it is, a traumatic event, which for her, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It started from a really bad situation when she was in second grade.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And one of the biggest wins we had is she began to speak her truth.
Yeah.
And it began to switch her from the fight or flight to the rest and restore. And she learned to practice that throughout her days.
Mm.
But as to your question about trauma and about anger and suppressed anger, I've seen that a lot in other autoimmune conditions. It's like people can't let that out.
Correct.
Or everything that's is it. Stuck yeah. in their body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why I really value working beside Dr. Cameron, because he's able to use the NET technique to really help release that. And that can open the door to healing that they never thought could happen.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really interesting, because Dr. Phil, if I can ask you to join in on this.
Yes.
If you have somebody come in with a pain, an ache, pain, back pain, neck pain, pain in the ass, so to say.
Is he that kind of doc? Just curious.
Well, whatever muscle he's testing,
yeah.
I'm sure he'll find that sphincter muscle.
It's very true.
No, but if you don't know where to start, but Melissa is working with somebody and says to you, I really have felt in my initial intake with this person that there is this trauma that mm-hmm. is sitting there. Do you then, does that, I'm sure that helps you to do the applied kinesiology to test for specific things. Probably speeds up the process, wouldn't it?
It does help to definitely get feedback and understanding about where a person's coming from. But the body, I'm never at a loss for what to treat.
Right.
The body's always telling me
right.
what needs to be treated. And the emotions are a huge part of chronic disease, chronic pain, things that have been going on for a long period of time. And the neuroemotional technique is a branch of applied kinesiology where we look at hidden emotional traumas. We call them neuroemotional complexes that are stuck in the body, like you're talking mm-hmm. about. And it's not just anger. It can be fear. It can be
shame,
grief, yeah. mm-hmm. Low self-esteem, vulnerability. All these emotions that we all have all the time are just ways that, we're trying to process our environment and our situation that we're living in. I mean, emotions are designed to protect us, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be walking down the trail and think that there's a, bear that's going to jump out behind the rock,
right.
without being aware that, he might be there. I should get my bear spray out.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That fear can be very important for us to be able to survive. But if that fear gets trapped in our bodies,
yep.
now your nervous system is in a sympathetic fight or flight state all the time. If your nervous system is constantly looking out for that bear, you don't have the give in your nervous system to allow your body to calm down. So your body's just staying, in that pain all the time, over mm-hmm. and over and over again.
Yeah.
And we hide it. And that's where, when you talk about, hidden anger or these different traumas that have gone on for years and years, your nervous system is suppressing the conscious thought of it because you don't want to be consciously thinking about the bear. But your limbic system, your subconscious brain, is always thinking about the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, a huge problem for a lot of people's health conditions. And one of the reasons why I found it very important to study the neuroemotional technique and really help with these chronic cases to really help them get over it.
Wow.
How do you determine if someone needs an ET?
Well, there's a very specific reflex that we check for in the body. So doing applied kinesiology, I'm often starting from a weak muscle where, you know, say you've had chronic back pain and you have a, you know, let's say a weak hamstring muscle or a weak hip muscle, and that's contributing to your back pain. So you touch the reflex that relates to the emotions, which is across the forehead, like if you go, oh my gosh. You know, you put your hand on your forehead, right? Yeah. Well, those are where the emotional reflexes actually are. And if that actually strengthens a weak muscle, that tells me now I have an emotional issue that I have to consider is causing part of this problem. Hmm. And then we go into, you know, dealing with that emotion through the NET process.
I see.
Yeah.
Hmm. So then the person has been tested by Dr. Phil and then comes back to you, still working with you. And that helps you then to set up a protocol. Well, we gotta go. It looks like at the end of the hour. Do you then start a protocol with the person based on that, or how does? Shall we talk when we come back? I would like to understand how we do the next steps.
Certainly.
Okay. Cool. All right. So stay tuned for hour number three with these four guests. We will be right back.
Making excellent use of your time and mind. Listening to Gesundheit with Jacobus every week.